Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Ask Pastor Adam, and we are going to be continuing our series on telling the story of Jesus without making it weird. And so, you know, if you're tuning into this podcast, I'm taking it to mean that you want to learn how to tell people the story of Jesus. You want to learn how to give your faith away in a culture that thinks talking about Jesus is either rude or weird. However you got to this podcast, thanks for listening. My goal is to equip you, and I want to motivate you as well. And when I say motivate, let me just put my cards on the table. I'm not a fan of motivating people through guilt. Can we agree to be done with guilt? Can I get an amen for that? I've pastored for over 15 years, and in my experience, guilt has never yet produced a man or a woman with the kind of passion and staying power that you're going to need if you're going to tell people the story of Jesus year in and year out. So here's a better motivation. Get yourself on mission, and you will never lack for spiritual power and joy. Few things are as thrilling as winning a person to Christ and then building them up and then sending them out on mission as well. Do you want to encounter the power of God's Spirit? I'm assuming you're going to say yes to that. If you do, get yourself on mission. A Christian on mission is a Christian empowered by the Spirit. And this is because the power of the Spirit is uniquely associated with telling the story of Jesus. Where do I get that? I get that from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Do you want to see miracles? Well, you know what I'm going to say. Get yourself on mission. The book of Acts, which is the story about how the gospel advanced from Jerusalem to Rome and then beyond, records about a total of 13 miracle stories. Listen to this. 11 of the miracle stories occur in the context of people going out to tell the story of Jesus. Only 2 of the miracles happen when the church is gathered. And I think this same pattern is true for us today. And I don't want anyone to miss out on the power of the Spirit and the incredible joy that comes with it. Forget guilt. I said it once, I'll say it again. Get yourself on mission, and you'll never lack for spiritual power and joy. Well, let's go a little bit deeper into the how. The approach to telling the story of Jesus that I practice and that I teach involves 3 simple habits. Number 1, develop relationships. Number 2, discover people's stories. And then number 3, discern their next spiritual steps. And let's just take a deeper walk into developing a relationship. This method of telling the story of Jesus comes directly from the life of Christ. The Gospels give us a snapshot of about 3 years in the life of Christ, and what we see demonstrated is a commitment to a relational approach to making disciples. Jesus spent time with people. He celebrated life with them. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is either coming from a party or going to a party. He wasn't afraid to smash through cultural barriers, and he was relationally present with everyone he spoke with, even with strangers. When you look at the pattern of Jesus and how he proclaimed the good news, sometimes Jesus spent time investing in people and developing relationships. The calling of the disciples comes to mind when I think about his relational approach. It's easy to read through the Gospels and think that Jesus just walked up to a bunch of guys and said, "Follow me." And then they all left their nets and they followed him. And this is the impression you get if you read too quickly through Matthew, Mark, and Luke without John's Gospel. John's gospel shows us that Jesus spent time investing in these guys before he asked them to become his disciples. The apostle John tells us that Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. So Andrew meets Jesus at one of John the Baptist's outreach rallies, and after hearing John say that Jesus was the Lamb of God, Andrew follows Jesus back to his home, and he spends the whole day with Jesus. You can read about that in John chapter 1, verse 39. Andrew then grabs his brother Peter, and somehow they get connected with Philip, who's from the same city as Peter and Andrew, and they find Nathanael, and, you know, these guys are all connected relationally in some way. We don't know how long Jesus spent investing time with these guys, but one thing we do know is that he did spend time with them before asking them to leave their occupations and become his apprentices. This is why I'm saying that Jesus' approach to mission was a relational approach. But, and this is very important, this isn't the full picture of it. Sometimes Jesus spent time developing a relationship. Sometimes Jesus developed relationships very quickly with people. The calling of Levi the tax collector, whom we now know as Matthew, seems to have happened, well, pretty quickly. You can look at Mark chapter 2, verse 14 and some of the other stories, and you'll see a guy who I think was probably dissatisfied with his life and he was looking for something more. And Jesus singles him out and asks him to become a disciple. And then this is pretty cool. Levi makes a decisive break with his old life and he never looks back. In Levi's story, I think we see a beautiful gospel irony. You don't have to change your life before coming to Jesus. And after all, Levi was sitting at his tax booth when Jesus found him. But coming to Jesus will change your life. This was also the experience of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Here was a woman who had been used and I think abused by men, and I think she longed very deeply for security. So she comes alone to the well in the heat of the day to draw water, and she finds a very tired Jesus resting by the well. Jesus initiates the conversation and asks her for a drink, which is Jesus smashing through the cultural barriers. It was a big no-no on account of the fact that she was a woman and a Samaritan. He wasn't even supposed to be talking to her, but Jesus is motivated by the gospel. And so he initiates the conversation, and then he moves the conversation from small talk about thirst to the deeper longings of her heart. And at the end of that conversation, she ends up putting her trust in Jesus. You see, when it comes to mission and telling the story of Jesus, relationships can develop very, very quickly. We shouldn't shrink back from talking to strangers about our faith. We should not assume that it has to take a long time to develop a relationship with someone. We should also avoid assuming that people are at the beginning of their spiritual journey. If they're already deep into it, you might reap where others have planted. What matters when meeting a stranger and wanting to tell them the story of Jesus is to be relationally present with them. Find out what God is already doing and then get in on it. You know, this happens all the time, I think, at restaurants. My wife and I have budgeted a certain amount of money each month for going out to eat. And we make it our practice to ask the server if there's anything that we can pray for them. And get this, it's not weird because we're going to be praying over our meal anyway. And when we do that, I tend to get one of three reactions. Number one, I'm good. Translation, I'm not really interested in your prayers or your God right now, but I don't want to be rude. The second reaction I get is kind of something more generic, you know, just pray for my family and for their health, and I'm very happy to do that. But the third reaction is super cool. Person will say, I'm so glad that you asked, and they will literally just pour out their heart to you. And this happens time and time again. I've encountered all three reactions, and in the third scenario, there's always an opportunity to tell the story of Jesus. Now, this is really cool. Imagine that you like the restaurant, and you go back to the same server and you get the same table and you're able to follow up with them about your last conversation. This is intentionally living to tell the story of Jesus. And this is what it means to be truly missional. Get yourself on mission, and you will never lack for spiritual power and joy. Well, let me just pull this little episode together because I'm trying to keep it under 15 minutes. Number one, please keep praying the simple prayer for the people on your 3x5 card. In the last episode, I asked you to get a 3x5 card and write down the names of 3 to 5 people that are in your life that need Jesus, and just pray this very simple, direct prayer. God, would you open up so-and-so's heart to respond to the story of Jesus? And would you give me boldness and opportunities to show it and tell it? And my friends, this is a prayer I believe God delights to answer. And if you're already doing that, let me give you another missional challenge. I want to challenge you to take the risk this week by asking one of your servers at a restaurant if you could pray for them. And then, sometime later in the month, try to go back to that same restaurant and that same table and get that same server and then follow up with them and see what God's doing in their life. So, well, in the next episode, we're going to take a deeper look into why developing relationships matter. And I'm going to throw another easy but super cool missional challenge your way. But until then, let's remember that Jesus changes everything.